Ever feel like you got kind of like the short end of the stick in a deal?
Oh.
Like when someone goes back on their word and you're left just high and dry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what we're diving into today. You know, like a legal battle, a real one, shows you how to protect yourself even when, well, even when a promise is broken.
Right.
We're unpacking a case, actually.
Okay.
Knavos versus Hancock Bank and Trust Company.
Yeah.
It's from 1985, but, you know, still surprisingly relevant.
Oh, absolutely. This case, you know, it revolves around a concept that a lot of people, I think they understand the right of first refusal.
Right.
But as we'll see, there's more to it than, you know, than meets the eye, so to speak. This case shows how important it is to be able to prove that you could have actually, like, held up your end of the bargain, even if the other party messed up.
Okay, so let's paint the picture, right, for our listeners.
Yeah.
We've got Harold Knavos. He's a longtime customer of Hancock Bank and Trust Company.
Okay.
They had a history, right? You know, years of loans, repayments. Seems like a solid relationship.
Right.
Back in 74, Knavos needed some help. He needed to buy back stock in a company
Okay.
that owned this like 14-story apartment building, the prime real estate.
Wow.
Hancock Bank steps in, like, we're here to help you out, buddy. But the deal, it wasn't simple. It wasn't just here's some cash.
No.
We're talking loans, stock purchases, and of course, that right of first refusal for Knavos to buy that stock back later on.
This is where it gets interesting. Imagine like you and a friend are looking at the same concert tickets like online,
Okay.
and you agree that if your friend doesn't end up buying them, they're going to give you first dibs, right?
Right.
That's similar to a right of first refusal. It's not like an automatic guarantee.
Right.
It's conditional, only if certain things happen.
Right, like you can't just waltz in and be like, give me those tickets
Exactly.
if your friend suddenly changes their minds.
Yeah.
So back to the case. Fast forward to 1976,
76.
and things take a turn. Hancock Bank, they decide to sell that stock to someone else.
Uh-oh.
And here's the thing, they do it without even giving Knavos the chance to match the offer.
Oh, wow.
Insult to injury.
Yeah, I mean that's a classic breach of contract. You can imagine Knavos. He was not happy. He sued them.
Yeah.
And a trial court actually awarded him a pretty good chunk of change in damages.
Okay.
$780,000. Slam dunk.
You'd think it was over.
Right.
But no, the bank, they weren't done yet.
Really?
They appealed the decision,
Wow.
arguing that, well, the jury wasn't instructed to consider whether Knavos could have actually come up with the money to buy the stock
Oh,
in
okay.
the first place. So this whole burden of proof thing, right?
Right, exactly.
The bank was essentially saying, like, okay, sure, we might have broken our promise, but, you know, he couldn't have afforded it anyway. So
Right.
what's the point?
Right.
So hold on. Even though they admitted to, like, breaking the agreement, they're saying it's Knavos's problem to prove he could have paid.
It does, yeah.
Isn't that kind of like blaming the victim?
It does seem a little counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But this case, it highlights a pretty crucial legal principle.
Okay.
The court, they're focused on putting the wronged party back into the position they would have been in, you know, if the contract was actually honored.
Okay.
So it's not like about punishing the wrongdoer or the bad guy.
Right.
It's about making things right for the person who was harmed.
So in this case, if Knavos couldn't have paid for the stock anyway,
Right.
then even if the bank had like played by the rules, he wouldn't have gotten it.
Exactly. It's kind of like suing somebody because they backed out of selling you their car, but you can't actually afford the car in the first place.
Right. Yeah, I'm starting to see their logic.
Yeah.
But still, isn't it a little unfair to expect Knavos to like prove something hypothetical?
Yeah.
Like, how do you prove you could have done something if you weren't given the chance to do it?
That's a great question. And it's something that the court, they really wrestled with this. You know, they acknowledged that these hypothetical situations can be tricky to prove,
Right.
but ultimately they decided that the burden of proof, it rests on the person who is claiming that they were harmed.
Right.
They need to show that they were actually ready, willing, and able to actually, like, you know, fulfill their side of the bargain.
So this case, it sets a pretty important precedent. Like, even if somebody breaks a contract, you can't just like assume you're going to get compensated. You still have to prove that you could have held up your end of the deal.
Absolutely.
So this isn't just like some legal technicality, right? This idea of proving you were ready, willing, and able, could you call that like the golden rule of contract law?
Oh, it's definitely a cornerstone concept. Yeah. It's, you know, about fairness and ensuring that the legal system doesn't reward someone, you know, for a deal they couldn't actually finish.
This has to have like some serious implications for our listeners.
Right? Yeah.
It can't just be about some stock deal from like forever ago.
No, you're absolutely right. This case, even though it's about a specific situation, like it has these ripple effects on all sorts of agreements. It's a wake-up call to anyone who thinks they can just like cry foul and expect to get a payout.
So it's like a legal reality check.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to be able to back up your claims,
yeah,
like with some solid proof.
Precisely. Imagine this. Okay. You've got a right of first refusal on like that perfect piece of land for your dream house.
Okay.
And the seller, well, they decide to just ignore your right. They sell to somebody else.
Oh no.
You're upset. Understandably right. But if you can't prove that you actually had the financing lined up to buy the land, your case, it might not hold up in court.
That's a great example. Really brings it home. How this applies to like everyday situations. What about like those more informal agreements?
Yeah.
When there's not this like big fancy contract, mm-hmm, like maybe just a handshake deal.
Yeah.
Does this principle, does it still apply then?
That's where it gets even more interesting, actually. Even when there's no written contract, this idea of being like ready, willing, and able, it's still crucial. Like the law doesn't just disappear because you didn't like write something down.
So even in those situations where it feels more like, you know, trust-based,
yeah,
you still need to be prepared to show that you could have followed through if things like went bad.
Exactly. It's about, you know, protecting yourself and having a strong foundation, legally speaking, if a dispute comes up.
Yeah.
You know, remember the court wants to make things right, but they need evidence to do that.
It sounds like documentation is pretty key here. Like having a paper trail to prove like your intentions and your ability to follow through.
Absolutely. You know, detailed records of your finances, your communications, even attempts to exercise your rights. All of that can be crucial if you end up, you know, in court.
This is such valuable advice for like anyone, really.
Yeah.
Whether you're an individual or a business owner, being aware of these like legal principles,
yeah,
can help you like navigate agreements with more confidence.
Yeah. It's about empowering yourself, you know, understanding your rights and obligations and being prepared to show you can uphold them.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about like what individuals need to do. What about the lawyers out there listening?
Right.
Are there specific lessons like they can take away from this case?
Definitely. Canavos versus Hancock Bank and Trust Company. It's a must read for anyone dealing with, you know, contract law. It highlights how important it is to have careful drafting and anticipating like potential problems down the line.
So not just knowing the law, but like thinking strategically about how it could be applied in different situations.
Exactly. For example, when you're like drafting a contract that has a right of first refusal in it, mm-hmm, make sure the language is like super clear, uh-huh, about the conditions that make the right happen and the steps that each party has to take. Like, don't leave anything up in the air, you know, because you never know how a court's gonna like interpret ambiguity.
And if you're like representing a client who's been wronged in a contract dispute,
yeah,
you know, gather as much evidence as you can to show that they were ready and able to do their part.
Mm.
Don't just assume that the other party's breach means you automatically win.
Right. Remember, the court's trying to like restore fairness.
Yeah.
And that often depends on showing that you could have, you know, kept your promises.
It's like you said before, even in the world of contracts, things aren't always, you know, so black and white.
Right.
There are nuances and things can get complex if you're not careful.
Absolutely.
Feels like even something as, you know, as straightforward as a contract can become this whole legal maze.
Yeah. And that's why it's, you know, that's why it's so important to have a really good legal team on your side. Someone who can kind of see those pitfalls coming, you know.
Yeah.
Help you navigate all the complexities.
Speaking of complexities, I'm kind of curious about something. We've been talking about this whole ready, willing, and able concept.
Right.
You know, in the context of these formal agreements. But could this kind of situation happen even in those like informal settings?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's like, hey, a handshake is a contract.
Right.
Does that really hold up?
That's a great question. And it really gets to the heart of why this case is still so important today. You know, these principles that we see in Canaves versus Hancock Bank and Trust Company,
yeah,
they absolutely apply even when there's no written contract.
Really?
This idea of being ready, willing, and able to do what you said you would do, it's fundamental to contract law, regardless of how formal or informal the agreement is.
So even if you make a deal with someone, you know, based on trust, you have a verbal agreement, shake hands, you should still be prepared to prove you could have followed through.
Yeah.
If things went bad.
Absolutely. It's all about, you know, protecting yourself.
Yeah.
Making sure you have that strong legal ground to stand on if there's the dispute. And remember, the law, it tends to favor those who can show they can live up to their commitments, even in those informal settings.
This deep dive has really, really been eye-opening for me. We've explored so much, like the ins and outs of contract law, this whole burden of proof thing, and the lasting impact of this single court case. It's just amazing to me how a case from 1985
I know.
Can still be so relevant today.
Yeah, it really is. It's a testament to these lasting principles of contract law and how they shape how we interact with each other,
right.
You know, both in business and just our personal lives.
So for our listeners out there, the takeaway here is pretty clear. Whether you're signing a formal contract or striking a deal with a handshake, remember the golden rule, right?
Right.
Be ready, willing, and able to prove you can keep your word.
And if you're ever unsure about your rights or what you're obligated to do, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to a lawyer. Get some advice.
Better safe than sorry.
Exactly.
This has been a truly insightful deep dive. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of contract law.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure, you know, unraveling this legal puzzle with you.
And for those of you who are like eager to dive even deeper into how these legal principles, how they play out in the fast-paced world of tech startups, well, join us next time.
Definitely.
We'll be exploring another fascinating case. But until then, stay curious, stay informed, and as always, thanks for taking the deep dive with us.